Sometimes companies turn into places that you don't want to work at anymore, and that's actually okay.
It is totally normal to feel hurt, even as the owner-operator, to feel kind of initially hurt or like, frustrated with it.
If your hygienist left, there was like 5 to 10 offices that they're going to go to, and that's about it, unless they moved across the country. And that was it. Like, those were all of their options. Have you ever hired somebody onto your team or near, cross department near you that worked at a dental office?
Yeah, I think there's, some people that are just naturally willing to say why that place was a one star. And then there are others that'll just say like, hey, like I had different growth plans or, the company changed. It's totally reasonable things. I think what you're looking for in that situation though, too, is when you're talking to somebody who left an office is what state did they leave in and what state did the employer leave the situation in?
Welcome back to another episode of Dental Marketing Go. I'm your host, Gary Bird. I'm a 49ers fan, and I'm recording this before the Super Bowl with my hat on. Hopefully they win. And when you're probably watching this, you'll know the outcome of that game. Today, I have a very special guest, Ted, who is the VP of Sales at SMC National, but he hasn't always been the VP of Sales at SMC National. He actually worked here for a while, left, went and worked somewhere else, and then after a couple of years, came back, and he suggested that we have a conversation around boomerang team members that come work somewhere in the dental field, leave, and then come back again, and how dental offices can actually take advantage of that, and how there might be some opportunities of where you might be burning some bridges and some things to look at. And also, maybe your teams are burning some bridges too. It's never smart to do that. And he's going to dive into that. This is a very, very unique episode, and I'm sure it'll bring a ton of value to you, change the way that you think about things. Stay tuned. All right, we are live, and I'm excited to have this conversation with Ted. I've known Ted for many, many years, and I think I've never heard a podcast on this subject, and Ted actually came up with the idea. And so I'll just quickly summarize just how I've known you, Ted, and how the relationship that we've had over the years. So Ted worked with me many years ago. I met him through, he's been in the dental industry, dental marketing industry specifically, for many years, and he came to SMC. We worked together for several years, and he ended up taking another job. And he left on good terms. Things didn't work out the way that we wanted to on either end, but it was still on good terms. And he went off, was doing his thing. And a couple years went by, and I was like, man, you know what? Ted would be an awesome fit for what we are looking for right now. And Ted came back as our VP of sales. And so Ted's been working in sales and helping us with several things at SMC. And he came up and I was like, hey, I want to bring you on a podcast and talk about, some of this stuff. And he was like, what about the topic of boomerang team members? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, team members that leave and come back. And I was like, I've never even thought about that before. Like, I've never even thought about that as a topic. And he was like, I think it would be an interesting topic. And I think it's valuable. And as I started thinking through it right before we hit record, we were talking about it like, a lot of people burn bridges when they leave companies, or a lot of employers burn bridges as people leave their company,
yeah,
right?
They're both like, ways.
You're a dirtbag anyways. We didn't want to work with you ever again. We were just about to fire you. You know what I mean? And so it's like it happens on both sides, and it's just really unnecessary. Like, why would you burn a bridge when you don't need to burn a bridge, kind of thing is where I'm at with that mentally. Like, even if you don't want to hire somebody back, but then people grow, people change, people get better, right? And I know not everybody does, but anyways, that's the subject for today. So Ted, like, just break it down from your perspective, kind of the idea of a boomerang team member.
Yeah, I think the way we always tend to think about this, and I've been on both sides where I've been the person leaving and I've had my team members leave and in different roles I've had too. And I think we always tend to think of it, like you even said it, the person changes, and you want to keep that open, you grow as an employee. But also, like, I think the reality is too, like, employers grow, companies change who they are. They can grow up, yep, or develop or go public or fix the one thing that was like a hang up for you. And so I think, more than anything, it's just kind of maintaining a healthy relationship with any employer. And the same goes for the employer, maintaining a healthy relationship for an employee to encourage something. I think that's like a pretty amazing indicator. Number one, if a place you left wants you to come back. And then number two, like, if that employee is willing to come back too.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got something really, really important to share with you that's going to bring massive impact to your practice. So every year, things change in your market every single year. People move, incomes change, populations change, and it's really important that you stay up to date with that. And one of the things that we offer to all of our customers, and we want to offer it to all of our listeners completely for free, is mapping out your new patients. So we're not going to only show you where your new patients are coming from on a map, just like this above, but we're also going to show you the income areas that they're coming from, the different pockets of income, as well as the populations, to make sure that you have supporting areas to where you can attract more new patients. And lastly, we're going to map out all of your competition for you for free. This is 100% for free, no obligation. And we're really excited to share this with all of our listeners. So all you have to do is go to maps.smcnational.com, and it's first come, first serve. We're not going to offer this forever. So if you want to get this, get in now, get all your new patients mapped out for the new year. We're looking forward to talking to you soon. Thanks. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if it's like the worst place ever to work, and it's on your list of like, man, I had to get counseling afterwards after I left there, then usually you're not going to go back no matter what, right? That's not what we're talking about. But I love the point that you're making here about, companies change. And it's true. Sometimes companies turn into places that you don't want to work at anymore. And that's actually okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, to be like, you know what? The current state of the company, my skills don't match that. And you don't even have to make it about the company. You can make it about your skill set not matching where the company's trying to go right now. But then over time, that company can change, and they can mold, and they can adjust. And to make this applicable to our listeners, Ted, because, you know, honestly, it's like the team members of these dental offices aren't really watching the show unless they're like a marketer or something like that.
Right.
It's mainly owner operators that are listening to this. So it's like,
yeah,
as you lose that hygienist, as you lose that dentist, how can you gracefully go through that process so you leave the door open for opportunity to work with them again? Unless they're a total nightmare and you never want to work with them again, no matter what. But even still, it's like, how can you make this a graceful transition? And I would love your thoughts on that, Ted. Like, what makes a graceful transition versus a non-graceful transition? You've probably experienced both. Like, what are your thoughts on
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I think on both sides, it is totally normal to feel hurt, even as, you know, the owner operator, to feel kind of initially hurt or frustrated with it. But, you know, like, dental is a small industry. And even if you don't necessarily, you got to think about it this way, even if you don't necessarily work with them in that, in their exact role, who's to say they don't end up working for a vendor or a referral partner or something like that. So it's about preserving, you know, your own name in a small space where everybody talks about everybody. Once you're in dental, like, you never get out, you know, like, it's always touching some area of what you're doing. So I think it's one of those where, you know, understanding and trying to quickly accept that an employee is moving on, and, you know, what as an employer, like I said, I've been on both sides, like, what can you do to help make it smooth and help preserve that relationship? Is it, you know, a referral? Is it, you know, saying like, hey, if you've got any questions, you've moved on to a better role, like, you can come to me, I'll be able to person, I'll give you my honest opinion, whatever those things are, trying to still be an asset to somebody, even if they're not an employee.
You know, that's a really good point, that the dental industry, for a long time, it was very one-dimensional from the standpoint of, if your hygienist left, there was like 5 to 10 offices that they're going to go to, and that's about it, unless they moved across the country.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, those were all of their options. Now, your hygienist might leave and work for a marketing company. They might leave and work for a consulting company. They might go and partner with somebody to open a dental, like a dental office down the street. They might go and work with a PMS company that needs help around the hygiene side of building out their PMS and all the data in there. So there's so many ways now that you're going to bump back into people. And again, I've been on both sides of it. I've had people who've left and it was like, hey, that's disappointing, you know, or sorry we failed you, or sorry you didn't like it, and hey, best of luck to you. And also, Gary, you can go read our Glassdoor reviews. Gary, I hate you and you literally ruined my life, and now I can never be around someone like you ever again. Like, I've been on both sides of that, and it's sure. It sucks. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I never want to be in those kind of situations, but they do happen. What are your thoughts on like culture fits? Like how from you, like, I love your point of view. Like, how do you figure out, man, this is a culture fit for me that I think I'm going to be successful there. And I'm going to be able to be successful long-term there because I feel good about what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think culture is the hardest thing to define. One of the easiest things to screw up. You know, it's just one of those that, like, man, every office, every company like touts a culture. And I think sometimes it's like not even defined as to what it is. So, you know, I think it's you want to see employees that are happy, employees that are engaged. And honestly, I think it's a little bit like an Amazon review, you know, like when you're looking to buy something, I want to see how many 5 stars there are. And then I want to know some of the 1 stars and kind of see that and know that there's somewhere in the middle of what, you know, normalcy is. Cause, you know, like just like you may hire somebody that's not a natural fit and you have to let them go. An employee has the same rights to say, hey, this isn't a fit for me. You know, like the bill of goods that was, you know, your resume as the company isn't aligning with what we thought, you know? So I think that's a totally reasonable thing. And, you know, we think about it, we tend to think about, you know, when like the bad parts of it, the bad situations where like, in, you know, you break up with someone and you think about that afterwards, like, oh, that person was crazy. But there are stories too, where like, people get divorced and then get married again because they've both grown and changed and kind of adapted and grown who they are. Those aren't as necessarily as much fun to hear about online, but they happen too.
Yeah, they do. That's such a good point. I would never have even thought about it from that point of angle. What are, to the listeners, to the people that are working here, like listening here, which are mainly dental operators, right? So these are people who are working in the dental office. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever hired somebody onto your team or near, you know, cross department near you that worked at a dental office beforehand? Okay. What was the main reason that someone leaves a dental office to go work in something related to dental, but it's not in the dental office anymore?
Yeah. I think there's, you know, back to my Amazon one, I think you're going to have some people that are just naturally willing to say why that place was a 1 star. And then there are others that'll just say like, hey, like it didn't fit, or I had different growth plans, or, you know, the company changed, you know, it's totally reasonable things. I think what you're looking for in that situation though, too, is when you're talking to somebody who left an office is, you know, what state did they leave in and what state did the employer leave the situation in? And it gives you an assessment on like, hey, maybe this isn't an office I want to cross refer to, or, you know, maybe this employee does come across crazy, or if somebody was looking to take a job there, I may advise them about what I had heard from other employees, things like that. Mm.
The part that I was thinking about is like the one unfair advantage that I often really feel bad for the dental offices that have to hire and retain and again, boomerang team members coming back is that a lot of times you're competing against people who are willing to offer flexibility that you can never get from a dental office, right? So it's like working for us, it's like, oh, you get to work from home. You know what I mean? Every day.
Yeah.
And as long as you wear a t-shirt, you're pretty good as far as your uniform's concerned. You know what I mean? Like, you're around your kids more.
I wouldn't mind wearing scrubs on occasion though.
Yeah. Scrubs are pretty cool, comfortable. Yeah. I think I'd feel cool for a while in scrubs. You know what I mean? I'd have like black ones or something like that. But then after a while, I'd probably get tired of it. But like, it's an unfair advantage to be like, you get to be around your kids, you get to eat lunch at home every single day. Now, some people love that. Like, you don't have to commute. You don't have to get like full ready every single day. Like, you save so much time on that. And I just feel bad for dental offices out there because sometimes they just can't compete against that. But I also will say there is an advantage of being in office and around people. Like, some people can't deal with not being around people all the time. And I know, Ted, you're always like, I want to go to the conference. I want to go and do the different things around people. You enjoy that. I always think about dental offices and just the unfair. I look at it as unfair because I prefer working from home, but I also can see the other side of like being around people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a lot of that when you have to have a model that involves going in an office and there's, you know, there's no way around that. It's still, I think you can take some good examples from working remote on how to connect outside of office. Because yeah, you don't have that, you know, after wrapping up a call, us to walk over to the coffee machine. We're in different parts of the country. You know, there's that's the thing that you kind of miss from the remote side, that that's where you really have to emphasize being in office. I think that's the big piece that you can tout. And that's where you build culture, is around the water cooler, you know, around the communal lunches and things like that, that you just, you're never going to be able to do remotely.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Well, Ted, I appreciate you coming on, having this conversation. I always ask people this, why I'm recording, to get their buy-in. It's so much easier to get people's buy-in when the camera's on. Would you be willing to come back on and have some conversations around like dental marketing and some of the other cool stuff that we're doing, doing inside, near your, a little bit closer to your job?
I would love to. Sign me up.
Awesome, man. This is a really cool episode. Very, very unique. I'm sure people will get a ton of value and begin to think about, maybe there's some team members out there that could come back and maybe want to come back. And it's okay to reach out and have that conversation, as long as you didn't burn the bridge. So thanks so much for being a good example and a good good example of that. And just, you know, keeping those bridges built up. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.